The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster. That, of course, is Evan Jenkins. We're here to talk to you about drafts, prospects, and the future. And a lot of people looked at the Tigers last year and thought the future was never going to come. And then all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, the Tigers found themselves in the playoffs. They knocked out Houston. And now everybody's looking at it and saying, whoa, they got to go out and get a bunch of free agents. But is that what really carried them to the postseason? And how do they balance players that they're developing and they like? You may not like them, but they do, going out and getting free agents. And some of the questions about that are easier to raise than they are to answer. And the first one that comes to mind is third base. Third base was a glaring, glaring weakness for the Tigers last year. No matter who they put there, quite frankly, they weren't good. But they touted Jace Young as their third baseman of the future. And Jace Young did get an opportunity in the major leagues. He wasn't terrible. He drew a lot of walks and did things, but you could see where he's not ready to play major league caliber third base yet. And quite frankly, he didn't show a lot of zip with the bat other than, hey, he got a walk and he made a hustle play on, base running. So do the Tigers go out and, you know, everybody's first name mentioned is Alex Bregman, bring him in, see if he's the guy, if they can somehow get him. He may be like way overpriced on a market where there typically aren't that many hitters. Or do the Tigers stick with their guy, Jace Young, and figure, well, he's going to develop? Because nobody would have thought that Austin Meadows would be looked at this way. Nobody thought that Cole Keith would be looked at this way at this time last year. So do they stick with him or not? That's a question. And Evan, it goes along and everybody out there with also like getting pitching help. Now, especially bullpen, because the Tigers bullpen is what carried them last year. Other than Scooble, it was the most important part of their team. And when you look at their bullpen, you know, do they have any arms in the minor leagues that can contribute as soon as next year or soon? So who are those pitchers who were maybe starters now in the minor leagues that could be bullpen pieces and how they should groove them along with, well, are you going to go by bullpen by committee a lot more than you had planned? And how many starters do you get for the rotation? And how do you balance that in with what you're doing? Those are the questions. And then the obvious questions, what do you do with Torque? What do you do with Casey Mize? I mean, those are huge questions. Both 1-1 picks, both have underachieved, both have had moments, though, in the major leagues where you can see their potential. And what do you do? So, you know, trying to sort this out in my mind, you know, it's like, do you trade Jace Young and then sign a veteran? You got a glutted second base, which is Young's natural position. He would have some trade value. Would you do that to try to get a third baseman who could play? Then somebody's trying to save some money, maybe on a arbitration eligible player or somebody that's closing in closer to arbitration eligibility. Do you, with your situation, go big time as a starter, like take an all-out shot at Corbin Burnes, for example, or some of the other starters that are out there, bringing back Jack Flaherty, which would make some sense because LA may not want to bring him back because Buehler's getting better. Would you take a shot at Buehler if LA doesn't get him? You know, so there's a lot of different ways that the Tigers can go with this. Take a shot at Max Fried. Or are you going to go like you did in the past, you know, somebody like a Matthew Boyd who's going to be out there again, or Lorenzen who's out there again, and pitchers that they work with who become really good here, although that didn't quite work out with Boyd before, but he's certainly good now, and he would have some signability. Would you take a shot at a Shane Beavers coming off Tommy John?
Or even somebody like Blake Snell, who just opted out of his deal.
Yeah, but Blake Snell, he's not coming here. But he would be somebody that would, you know, you would look at. So how would you do that? Should they spend big? Look, their payroll is only going to be $80 million. But what got them into the playoffs wasn't spending money. What got them into the playoffs was development of younger players. Because their key guys are pretty much all homegrown players. So how do you go about that? Do people think Jace Young has a chance? Or have you already given up on him? Or somebody like Dylan Dingler, who, you know, is their catcher of the future, but he came up and didn't do well. But he's still is long, long, long way away before the jury comes out on Dylan Dingler.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many questions about this Tiger team going into the offseason. And I think I'm going to start with third base, like you mentioned, because I do think if there's a position that they're going to spend a lot of money on, it would be a guy like an Alex Bregman. Because I don't know if you know this, Pat, but he played under A.J. Hinch at Houston.
Oh, really?
So there is that. Yeah, there's that connection. You might hear that once or twice during free agency. I don't know, though, based off of the success that they had last year with their own guys, are they willing to break the bank on another infielder? Because I'm always going to wonder if Scott Harris sits there and looks at like Javi Baez's contract and is cautious because he doesn't want to get into a situation again where maybe Al Avila spent to spend at that moment. I don't know. That's a good question that we may find out.
I think it's a fair question because there's a certain – look, Baez and Bregman are two different players. Very
100%.
Different. But I'll say this. They're both about the same age when this decision came up. Both have been trending a little bit down. Not completely down, a little bit down. And you don't want to get stuck with one of those guys for 5 years that the last 3 years of the contract they can't play anymore. So, you know, it sounds great on signing day, and it would definitely help them next year, but it could be a problem long term.
Yeah, in the way that I see Scott Harris, and just in the limited time that we've seen him as the Tigers president of baseball operations, is that he doesn't want to overspend and he wants to really stay within the organization. And the way that I look at Young is, you know, he was up here. They wanted to give the kid a shot. He didn't really get into playoff games unless it was necessary based on injury or whatever that might have been. And I think they're going to kind of stick with him and see what the kid has. And they're going to go more or less with a Mark Canha type signing where it's a vet for way less money that can fill a hole right here, right now, if need be. And that might be the wise choice that they take. I personally think that if the Tigers start off hot and like not start off in a crappy position like they had the last couple of years, that Scott Harris could even get into Brad Holmes territory to where it's like, listen, whatever he's doing is right. Who are we to question it? And I don't think like the bullpen the whole starting the bullpen arm that can last a whole year. I just don't. I think you're going to fatigue those guys in high leverage situations over and over and over again. So I do think that they're going to need starting pitching help. I just don't think that's sustainable. And Pat, you've covered baseball way longer than I have. I don't think you believe that's sustainable for 162 games. Is it great in certain situations? Was it awesome for the Tigers this year? Absolutely. But there's a reason why the Rays didn't continue to do it when they had a lot of success with it a couple years ago. So I think personally, the Tigers are going to spend their money on arms this year. And then when it comes to fielding positions, it's going to be lower end MLB veterans that they get.
Well, the way they're set up is really good in the outfield.
Yes.
No problem there. You can play Carpenter and Wright. You can play
Meadows and Green.
Meadows in center. And, yeah, Green and left. And you got Matt Verling as a right-handed option. And you got Wincell Perez as a right-handed option.
Yeah.
So I like the way they're set up in the outfield. It's the infield that is really puzzling. When you look at, well, should Torque be the first baseman? And should Young be the third baseman? These are two highly touted first-round draft pick left-handed hitting prospects. Well, Torkelson's a right-handed hitter, but you know, I get Cole Keith's going to be their second baseman. That should be the way they're thinking. But Trey Sweeney, what is he going to be like? Is he a guy that you stick with at shortstop? So. You know, and do they have any shortstops to call up? They don't. They don't have a third baseman, and they don't have a shortstop to call up.
See, so you bring up Torque, and I feel like he's going to have a shorter leash than Young will, because you just he's trending more to be the player that he was this past season than he was that player at the second half 2 years ago. And that's what's unsettling to me as a Tigers fan, that the kids showed – flash that he can really be a force, but then took major step backward. You read about pitching coaches talk or hitting coaches talking to him and his swing, and he's not necessarily open to changing that swing. I don't know if I believe it. I don't know how that goes down, but it just kind of feels right now where we sit that Torque is going to have 50 games or so to show what he's capable of. And if he doesn't, I could see him getting moved at the trade deadline for a piece, because some team will still highly value this young man. I mean, I'm not going to compare him completely to Josh Hamilton, because he did have some promise there in his first couple years. And obviously drugs were a big problem with him, but I think a team would look at him as a project piece and really be able to want him and work with him. But I just don't know how long the Tigers' leash is going to be with him, because it's always going to go back to me is that Scott Harrison drafted this kid. So maybe he has a different view than, you know, Avila did or others that were with the franchise at that time.
Yeah, I think that's a factor with Torkelson, and it also is the same with Casey Mize. One of the interesting things, a player is 34 years old. Yet he's a highly, highly productive player. Great fielder, the best fielding first baseman in the game, and he can really, really hit. And he's a right-handed hitter, so he'd fit them. It's Christian Walker, and from Arizona. And if the Tigers added a year onto his term, would that be some kind of wild gamble compared to what somebody else might want to pay him for term? Now, you know, if a team like the Yankees or somebody gets involved with it, which they very well could, because they need a first baseman, you sit back and you know you're not going to be able to outbid them. You're just going to drive it up, and they'll match you everywhere you're going. It doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do about that. But if Walker is not coveted by them and other teams are coveting him, and you may add an extra year of term, you know, like say instead of 3 years, 4 years, you know, would that be just some kind of foolish thing? Because that's a particular player that could be a huge difference maker as we speak right now. And that's going to be something that will come up. Or do you put your eggs in Torque's basket? And, you know, with Torkelson, the problem with baseball is it's not golf. there's not one swing fits all pitches. Like, you know, if you got a golf tee out there and you just kind of bring your backswing just back a little shorter if you're hitting a short iron. That's not how it works. It's a moving object. And he's got one swing fits all. And that's the problem. I don't know. I look back at what he did when he hit those home runs and everything, and it was definitely an outlier from everything else in his career. Incredible amount of home runs in 82 games, and then the rest of the time, extraordinarily mediocre production. He did get a little more flexible. I'm talking about his body, and started to play better first base after he had the stint in the minor leagues. Looked like he might have lost a pound or two and things like that. So that isn't maybe as big a concern, but the at-bats still are. And this is right now a contending team. And the thing is, they have an $80 million payroll coming back by the time all the arbitration and everything's settled. That's what it's going to be. You know, can they get it up to 110, something like that? And if they go into the season like with a $95 million payroll, you know, their entire fan base is going to be pissed off about it. And I don't know if that, you know, that's really a good thing for them. But again, you want to do what you think is right. You know, it wouldn't have been smart to go out and make some of the signings that people were telling them to go sign last year. Would have been stupid. So, and you know, what do you do? Now, looking at third base, I don't see a third baseman in their organization. And I don't see a shortstop. I see them down the road at shortstop, possibly McGonagall, possibly Rayner, who they drafted. But the rest of it, you know, that's a couple years away.
Yeah.
And I don't see, like, somebody that's going to play third. I just don't. So, to me, if they took a shot at Bregman, they have to address that position. They can't go in there with Verlaine, Young, and whoever else. You know, if they get a backup guy McKinstry, you know, playing third base, that position will kill him. It killed him in the playoffs when McKinstry had that ball and didn't make the play.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got to address that and get that settled. Now, a couple things here on this. I wanted to talk a little bit about this because this isn't going to help him this year. All right, Jackson Jobe will help him this year on the rotation. That's pretty much who you haven't seen yet. All right, and you might see Ty Madden help the Tigers this year as a bullpen piece. All right, you know, maybe come in as the load guy, whatever you want to call him, the bulk guy,
long relief
or spot start or whatever you want to say. But that's about it. But they have a wave of players here who are looking very promising. And it's really flashed in the Arizona Fall League. Josue Brasino missed most of last year with a knee injury. They were using him at catcher at Lakeland, but he's played a lot of first base. And, you know, the numbers he's put up as a low A ball player in, basically a double A, triple A caliber Arizona Fall League is stunning. He's got an OPS of 1.322. He's hit 8 home runs in 69 at-bats. His slugging percentage is .41. I mean, these are incredible numbers, but he's played first base and he's made 2 errors. And just a few amount of chances, like 65, 69. So I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a gold glove candidate, but Evan, this guy's like 6'4", and they list him at 200, but he's going a good 220 right now, rock solid muscle. I guess when he got hurt, he hit the weight room, and he worked on his body. If this guy's like this, that's your first baseman of the future right there. And do you want to get stuck with a long-term contract on a first baseman? I'm not sure. But moving from low A ball all the way up to the major leagues, you're still going to have to make some stops. All right, and that makes sense for that. The other one is Tyrone Lorenzo, who they got in the Flaherty trade. Again, this is a young player. He's 21. Brasino, believe it or not, is just 20. He's hitting 350. He's got an OPS of 1.105. And you know, he's been outstanding. He's only he struck out 9 times, walked 10. With Brissino, he's got 17 walks and only 11 strikeouts. So these guys got high walk strikeout ratios that are very good for what they're doing. But again, they're a million miles away. And I don't think Lorenzo is going to be a catcher. He's thrown out 2 out of 18 runners in the Arizona Fall League. They're running on him like crazy. I watched him play at the West Michigan. His catching skills are beyond rudimentary. You know, he drops balls. He's just, you know, he's just not a good catcher. So I don't know if they're going to have to make position switch or whatever. But these two guys as hitters are absolutely off the charts, Evan. Absolutely off the charts. So that's a big thing. Also, looking at pitchers, one pitcher intrigues me as potentially being this year's version of what they got from Herder, what they got from some of the other pitchers they called up. Now, he had a 5.10 ERA last year in double-A ball, but it's Troy Melton, who's often listed in the prospects in the top dozen, 13. Mid-round pick, like 4th, 5th round or something out of San Diego, University of San Diego. But he throws 95 to 97, but he misses a lot of bats. And to me, he's somebody that is going to move quickly for them if he gets off to a good start next year at Erie. And then they may even start him at Toledo, but moves up to Toledo. I think he's going to get dropped down a little bit. It's going to be misleading. But he reminds me of Madden in the fact I don't see a real good change or a real good off-speed pitch. Although Madden started throwing a splitter, and that made him a lot better. This kid, Melton, is going to be somebody to watch for next year who may be undervalued when it comes down to it. And also, they got good value back in the trades. Obviously, Lorenzo, obviously Trey Sweeney in the deal for Flaherty. But Joseph Montalvo, who was in the trade for, I think it was Chafin. No, it wasn't Chafin. Yeah, it was Chafin. He was in the trade for Chafin. He's somebody that has potential to move quickly as well. He doesn't throw as hard as some of the other guys, but he's got kind of a swing back movement, great pitch shape, and long extension. So it appears that he throws harder than what he's doing. And I really like Tyler Owens as kind of like a guy for their bullpen, who they got back in the trade for Carson Kelly, one of the guys. He, at the end of the year, he punched out 2 guys as Erie closed the championship series. You know, he was under pressure. Now, he got lit up a little bit there, but a very hard thrower, high 90s. So when you're talking about Melton, you're talking about Madden, you're talking about Owens, you're talking about 3 kids that are going to come in throwing some gas. So that's going to be interesting to see how they move these pitchers up and how they're going to factor in and what they do in the future. I do think they're going to sign a starting pitcher or two. It's hard to really pinpoint exactly who it's going to be. But I do feel pretty strongly that what you saw with the bullpen by committee, whatever you want to call it, the opener, you know, the way they move that bullpen, I don't think they're going to move off of that totally. That worked too well. Why, if it's not broke, why fix it? And when you have these pitchers that are in your pipeline.
Sure. No, I get that.
You know, so not everybody's going to be able to do the same thing. And also, a key is if you're finding somebody from another organization, you know, find somebody like a Gunther that, hey, nobody thought was any good, and he pitched well for you, or Hanafy. Both those guys were from other organizations where you look at it and you say, oh, you know, maybe Scott Harris knows what he's doing in his workers. But don't give him credit for Brissino. Brissino was an $800,000 signee from Venezuela by Al Avila. So Al Avila's tentacles are still all over this team.
Yeah, they really are. And they, I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, until a lot of these young players cycle out, his hands are going to be all over it.
Yeah, because when you're talking about Rainer, you're talking about Max Clark, when you're talking about Montegil, you're talking about players that are pretty far away. Same with Brissino, same with Lorenzo. But when you look at it, the Tigers didn't have a lot of players in that top 100 coming up here in the next few years. They really are. You know, and there's not going to be like a drop-off where there won't be. They've got another wave coming. And I think they're going to be pretty well set for a few years here as a competitive team. So, yeah, and, you know, if I was going to spend some money and resources, I would look at trying to extend Skubal. I don't know if Scott Boras would ever go for that.
He actually talked today a little bit about it, where he talked about he's going to go to arbitration this year, and they're going to obviously talk, but it sounds like there's going to be a couple years of arbitration. I think he has like three of them he can get in that final year. Would be like $15 million, but right now he's like nothing to the Tigers for money-wise.
$8 million is what he's projected to make in arbitration.
Yeah.
So, and same with Riley Green, isn't he ineligible for arbitration? So, and one of the things, though, they'll try to move Torque, because I believe he is eligible for arbitration now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they move, but they're going to have an $80 million payroll when this is all said and done. Before they sign anybody. And they do have money. It's not like we discussed, Evan, where they lost $26 million for a couple years. Last year, they made a lot of money because they unloaded those contracts at the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden, they got some money. Now, of course, the bottom line about this is that television revenue thing is very dicey. And I could see that maybe being an excuse why they don't spend money. And I don't know whether it's going to be excuse or it would be a wise thing. But, you know, the whole thing with FanDuel Sports Network now, not actually being signed with them yet for next year or giving them the money or knowing how it's going to be. If they go to the major league deals that three teams have already gone to, they're going to take a revenue dip immediately. It may have potential for more money than ultimately the regional networks have in this different landscape of streaming and all that. But initially, they would take a hit. So I don't know how much that's going to factor in for them. I assume they'll have better season ticket sales and all that after what happened last year.
Well, they got that new lower bowl going in, too, that executive area behind home plate.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to increase their revenue. But it's like I said a lot, both in the radio shows that I do and here on our podcast, Busting Balls. It's about winning. If you win, everything falls into place. They'll draw $3 million a year if they're in contention. The attendance will be the least of their problems. You know, some cities like Cleveland and some others, it doesn't matter. You know, they win, they don't quite draw that well anyway. That would not be the problem in Detroit if the Tigers started to win, especially with the young team where people are starting to identify with them. Yeah. So, but anyway, enjoyed the conversation. Now, don't forget to like us, Apple iTunes Store. Subscribe to us, Apple iTunes Store. Same with the Google Play Store. Odyssey.com, download us, like us, comment, whatever. We'd love that and love to hear from you. And we appreciate you listening very much. This podcast gets into a little more nuance than some others about drafts, prospects in the future, but it's worth it. And it's great to talk to you all wherein I can get into more of the details than I can often on the radio. And even with what I write in the columns for Odyssey.com. And of course, 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. Till next time. Evan Jenkins and I will see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.